Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I'm duty bound to be here to simply say that it is your duty not to burn your own house down for anger with an enemy. It is your duty to fortify your own house so that you may be a house of refuge in times of organization. And now is the time to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. It is time to beat up prosecutors you don't like at the voting booth.
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That was Killer Mike joining Mayor Keyshawn Friday night. T.I. was also part of that news conference, but him speaking on the unrest that's going on in the city. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Good morning, and don't forget that Dr. Bernice King, she was there.
Yes, she was.
They have her voice at this moment.
I want to remind you guys, you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. I don't know, man.
It's happening all over the country, Greg. It's all over from coast to coast. It's like nothing I've seen before. And we've seen, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when things happen in other cities. People talk about even Watts in L.A., you know, not Rodney King. I'm talking about back in the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking about my city and what happened after Dr. King and Bobby Kennedy was killed that year in 68. This year sounds a lot like what people said this country was like in 68. There is change that is going to take place. And that all, anytime there's massive change in anything, there's pain that goes along with that. And as we watch these things play out, we don't know what's going to happen next, but we know something will happen next. But again, yeah, you and I were very, very young. We didn't know what was going on, but this country in 68, we were, and my sister, who's much older than me, was out in the mix there. But, you know, you had a mayor of Chicago telling the cops, shoot to kill. Y'all, listen to me for a second. If you don't know about this, you go YouTube or Google Mayor Richard J. Daley of Chicago.
Yeah,
that dude sitting in the White House wasn't probably the most powerful politician at the time being. It was that dude who was sitting in Chicago who helped get presidents elected. When that convention hit Chicago in July, I think it was July or August of 1968, after Dr. King had got killed in April, after Bobby Kennedy got killed in June.
Right.
Yeah, got killed in June.
A heck of a year in this country.
And there were lots of riots, along with the fact, much like this pandemic that is also hanging over us, you had young folks had massive problems with what was going on in Vietnam. So they were looking for any place to protest. And the mayor of Chicago got on TV, folks, and told everybody who would hear him, the cops shoot to kill these protesters. They're not going to make, I'm paraphrasing basically, but that was that part of it he did say. We're going to shoot to kill. You're not making our city look bad because the convention was coming to Chicago. And so when you shake your head about you can't believe what some of these police are doing right now and so on and so forth, this has been going on for a minute in this country and people have gotten away with it. Not as blatantly as him, but it's been done.
It's a tipping point. I got a tweet. Since you said that, I got a tweet that I saw and I repeated and I retweeted it. And it goes this way. For those who ask if this is 1968, I checked. And no, this is definitely 2020. Who do you think that tweet came from?
Came from Dan Rather. Wow.
And he was right in the mix there.
Yeah, he was on the floor of the convention. We shake our heads and you and I have to come out here and talk sports. I remember this just trying to do this after 9/11, and you knew everybody's minds were elsewhere, but we had to come on and talk about it. I was down the dial at the time being, and while we have given a platform for some people, and we're going to continue, it's not all about what's gone on in this country, not just in our city, but our, you know, our country over these last number of days. But all we can do is we're going to continue to talk sports and hear from people in the sports world. As a matter of fact, we finally got some statements from Arthur Blank and Roger Goodell. Yep. Mr. Crenshaw, yep. Would you like me to read one of them for you right now?
Why don't you go right ahead and do that for you, not just for me, but for our listeners as well.
Yes, they would. If you did not hear earlier, if you not heard the statement from the Falcons and Arthur Blank, forgive me, I'm going to try and get through this without messing up too much. A number of events over the last couple of weeks have reminded us again that the long, worthy quest for equal justice, civility, and unity in America is far from over. People are scared and in pain. Their frustration is real, and it must be acknowledged and addressed. More must be done to address the systemic racism. More must be done to address the underlying issues that have led to these incidences across the country. And more must be done to bring people together through meaningful change. The public discourse on this and other issues is too divisive, too political. These are not political issues. They are human issues that need serious, earnest attention from our leaders and citizens alike who understand that diversity is our strength and fair treatment is everyone's right. Open, honest dialogue is needed on a much greater scale. It is my hope that we take this terrible moment in our history to elevate the conversation toward productive action and lasting positive change. Peaceful protests of the past have led to new ways forward. Lawlessness, vandalism, and intentionally upending the peace with any form of violence has never been productive and is not the answer. We must not accept or condone violence in any way. And to be sure, Atlanta is better than what we have seen in the actions of a few this last night. Together we will rise above this on the strength of what has always made Atlanta great. Its people, its leaders of past and present, and its unique culture that is welcoming to all. Our family foundation and the rest of our businesses here in Atlanta and elsewhere remain committed to being a part of the solution. That from Arthur Blank, owner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Well said. Well said. Well said. Timely comments and giving his thoughts, and it's something that this community needs to hear. Really did. So we thank Mr. Blank for doing that, and for the Falcons. For weighing in on what's happening in our, you know, the city and the country.
Before I read this next one, Sam, and it was mentioned earlier, and I forgot who it was that said it. It was one of our guests or one of the tapes. Our mayor, Mayor Keisha, that's what it was, talking about how Ted Turner put CNN here. She was talking about the reporters that were arrested on CNN live on TV, and then she went on to talk about how Ted Turner, chose this city to do business in and to put this network in.
Provide thousands of jobs.
Absolutely. I bring this up because I sit here today and wonder. We both have had the privilege of meeting him. We both covered him, obviously the teams, and what he would have to say.
Yeah.
About all of this.
Yeah. In the city that he loved and really helped to put on the map, and that's something along with our airport, the fact that CNN was international and Atlanta is the headquarters for it, something else that lifted the profile of this city to the international level. So he played a major role in that, along with obviously being involved in sports, being involved with the ownership of the Braves and the ownership of the Hawks, and his many, many contributions to the city. But that's the other thing that kind of got you about where it all happened, was something that's such a symbol of the city. People, you know, identify Atlanta with CNN, although these days most of the programs that we see on CNN are done out of New York and Washington.
Right.
Yeah. This is still the headquarters. This is still where it started.
This is where, and what you think of it at. And when you think of this network, I mean, what other network is out there? And I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but the gold standard is this one. When you think of this particular network, there's one person you think of.
Man said we're going to put news on 24 hours, and people thought he needed his head examined.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is after he already won the America's Cup.
Oh yeah.
Had a nickname, Captain Outrageous.
Yeah, and was running the Braves. The Braves weren't doing too well at the time. He was, like you said, he tried to get down in the dugout and manage the team one night.
He did for a day. He got one day in, and Bowie Kuhn said, "Nah, you get yourself back up there in the box."
Oh, you know. But the contributions were amazing.
We know what we know of Ted and shooting from the hip as far as how he talked about anything. This is a man with no filter. This is the voice you would like to have heard during this time. And we needed it coming from somebody like Ted Turner.
Yeah.
Because we haven't heard from any other.
But you know what? But you know what, though? There should be somebody else in our community who steps in that. And Arthur Blank has stepped into that void in so many ways with business and sports.
Yes.
And so, and we just heard the quote for the statement released from him and from his family foundation. He has kind of taken that baton from Ted Turner, if you know, they think about it in those terms, not just sports, but also business, also philanthropy, and right. Support for projects in our community, especially on the West Side, and he knows that's needed. You know, right. He knows it's needed, and more people are going to want to do that now that we've had what's gone on in our city, but nationally. More people will probably want to join in with him and support some things. It's about exposure. It's about, obviously, fairness and feeling like it's going to be fair to get the opportunity. A number of young folks grow up feeling like there's no hope, that because I look the way I look, I'm not going to get a chance to go to that door.
Right.
And it may seem that way, but there was no one there to open that door and let them look inside. Then, yeah, it confirms that thought. Exposure is a powerful thing, Greg. And I don't want to go downhill about my personal experience, but being born in Birmingham and moving here to Atlanta at the time that I did, it was, you know, I won't say it's like Booker T. Washington lifting the veil, but kind of it was. Right. You know, coming to this town to see things and see the possibilities, seeing people that look like me achieve things, let me know that it's possible if I applied myself, if I stayed where I was, my family didn't move from Birmingham, maybe I wouldn't get to see that. A lot of the folks we're seeing in the streets are not getting to see it. It's there, but right. They can't see it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they don't get inside the door of that building, or they don't know or touch anyone who's inside that building to let them know it's a possibility for them. So exposure is a big, big key. If there's anything that I wish it came out of something like this, would be more exposure for our young people to get to see something. Because when you see it and you touch it, it becomes real.
Right.
You know, and the same for me and you, what we had a chance to do, right?
Right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to get this other statement in. We just heard from the Blank family, Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons, and his statement. Let me read you what came out from the NFL offices in Roger Goodell. The NFL family is greatly saddened by the tragic events across our country. The protesters' reaction to these incidences reflect the pain, anger, and frustration that so many of us feel. Our deepest condolences go out to the family of Mr. George Floyd and those who lost loved ones, including the families of Ms. Breonna Taylor of Louisville and Mr. Ahmaud Arbery, the cousin of Tracy Walker of the Detroit Lions. As current events dramatically underscore, there remains much more to do as a country and as a league. These tragedies inform the NFL community and a commitment to our ongoing efforts. There remains an urgent need for action. We recognize the power of our platform in communities and as part of the fabric of American society. We embrace that responsibility and are committed to continuing the important work to address these systemic issues together with our players, clubs, and partners. That from the NFL office, Roger Goodell. Mr. Crenshaw, we will again get back into some of this talk and with some others too. Up next, the guy who played a little football here for the Atlanta Falcons from the West Coast, but was very transient and got to Atlanta and loves this city and is very, very depressed about what he's seen the last 24 hours. And this is a man on the front lines. A friend of the show, Chris Draft, is going to join us next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you. Not 9 floors up in the Kia Studios, but in the virtual Kia Studios. Jahi Whitehead on the other side of the glass, back of the studios. in Midtown Atlanta. And don't forget, you can find Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and take us with you wherever you are, or if you are at home, still in quarantine, self-isolated. We're available through the radio.com app, available for your smartphone and all of your smart speakers and devices. Hope that you will stay plugged in with us, especially during this time of COVID-19, as we seek to deal with that. And now we have something else that we're dealing with the protests and just the upstaging of emotions, Greg. I think that's the thing that we're dealing with, not just here in Atlanta, but nationwide.
All around the country. Hey, listen, as we continue to try to Chris Draft, and you know, he might be out there with a broom in his hand for all we know right now. He's been helping folks out, and he's right there across the street from Centennial Park. You know, Sam, I got, because, and I want to thank one of our coworkers too. Joe Patrick was supposed to join us this weekend. And because of the events of the past 48 hours, Joe was kind enough to step aside, says, you guys, you know, we know what kind of show you got to do, and I'll come on and talk baseball all next week. All right, so I had a handful of baseball things I was going to go at it with with Joe. And I came across one, and I'm saying to myself, I heard this once before, but I never really saw it in print, and I'm surprised that Sam hasn't brought it up more. So I was just one baseball nugget before we get into the with Chris Draft. And I was looking at the last few days, and one of the guys who is just beside himself with nothing to do is Tim Kirkjian. And he's been writing every day, putting out these nuggets with every day. This happened on this date. This happened on that day. So, you know, I went back to May 27th, earlier last week, and I was looking. And things I just didn't know. Prince Fielder and his dad, Cecil, they both ended up with 319 home runs. Go figure. But did you know... Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay, and one of them retired on May 27th. But did you know that Joe Niekro has one home run? He hit one home run in his career. Joe hit one home run in his career after 1,100-plus plate appearances. And you know, pitchers obviously don't hit a lot. But you know where his only home run came against? I'm sure you could guess. You could guess.
No.
Yes. Did he? His brother Phil... This from Tim Kirkjian. Yeah, Joe Niekro's only home run came off his brother.
That's amazing.
It is. But this is the one that gave me...
Especially when you consider what the bread and butter pitch for them was, which is a pitch that is so unpredictable. But you know what?
Maybe they probably did it all growing up. They knew what it was going to do.
That's the pitch that he knew best, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here's just two more. Again, give you a reason to pause. We lost Bill Buckner last year. Bill Buckner passed away, famous baseball player, obviously connected with the 86 World Series and the ball going under his leg. People forget what kind of speed Bill Buckner had early in his career and what he was like as a batter. Do you know that he finished his career with more hits than Ted Williams? Bill Buckner.
No.
Bill Buckner finished his career with more hits than Ted Williams, never struck out three times in a game, but is remembered for that ball going under his leg. And this is, again, from Tim Kirkjian. But this is the one I wanted to end. Well, there's two, but I want to end with this one. 1993, Dale Murphy retired. He, Roger Maris, and Barry Bonds. All right, you ready? Are the only players to win an MVP in back-to-back seasons. And all of them eligible, but not in the Hall of Fame.
Man.
Wrap your mind around
that. That's amazing.
I was bringing this stuff up. I was going to talk to Joe about it. Kurt Gibson was born, on this day, May 28th. 1988, Gibson joined Hank Greenberg as the only players to win an MVP before making an All-Star team. Greenberg won an MVP in 35. He made an All-Star team for the first time a few years later. Kurt Gibson is the only person who's won an MVP who's never been in an All-Star game.
Man.
Little nuggets like that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Jahi, is everything looking good?
Yeah, I think we have our guest with us.
There we go. Mr. Crenshaw, do the honors.
He is so busy. He is so busy right now, so I'm glad he's taking a moment or two to join us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Former Falcons linebacker and friend of the show, Chris Draft. Chris, good morning to you.
Morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
Been a minute since we had you on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, too long, man. Too long.
But no, well, we're going to start before we get into what you're doing right now. We're going to start with what we always talk to people, how you've been dealing with COVID-19, coronavirus. You haven't been able to go to California and visit family. What's it been like for you?
Say that again, Sam. It's a little loud out here. I'm out here at the Children's Museum. You're doing a little bit of cleaning up. Some of our folks got a little bit...
Tell us a little bit about that, though. The Children's Museum, and that's right there off Centennial Olympic Park, and that's the area where you live, right?
It's right where I live, Sam. I actually live in a museum town right here downtown, so it is actually a part of my building. So, unfortunately, some of the windows, actually a majority of the windows, got busted out last night. And but we had a great group of people with the Children's Museum people. The workers came in, and then so many of my neighbors that came down, and pretty much the glass is almost up. It's almost all completely cleaned up, where they can start putting up the kind of the wood boards.
Former Falcon Chris Draft joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us into your world starting Friday night when all this happened. Where were you, or how was it for you to get home if you were out and about? When the protesting and the rioting started, where were you? And then take us to what happened going into the next morning when all the damage was visible.
So Greg, what I'll have to do is I'll have to start before that, because there was an amazingly positive protest that happened Friday afternoon. And so where was I? But down in the park around, you know, 4:30, down with an amazingly diverse rally that was very clear in terms of their intentions. They had already went to the Capitol and come back, and we're talking about the importance of equality, the importance of justice. And so unfortunately in the evening, there were certain elements that decided to do some things that were that went against, the message, and unfortunately that's what can happen. You can have positive, you can have a lot of positive, you can have people that are doing what's right, and all it takes is a few people to be able to mess that up. And I think that actually goes right in line with what these cases are about, is that don't allow the whole group to be judged by one or two individuals. Seek out those two and deal with them, and deal with them in a just way.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Chris Draft, who is a former Atlanta Falcon linebacker who, for the second consecutive morning, is assisting in cleanup. Chris, you were busy doing yesterday morning, right?
Yes, was at the College Football Hall of Fame. And again, what a tremendous visual here in downtown Atlanta of having the College Football Hall of Fame. But unfortunately, it took a lot of the brunt of the Friday night's unrest. But Saturday morning, again, what did you say? I said Friday afternoon, something special and positive. Unfortunately, Friday night, unrest. But then yesterday morning, a great group, a diverse group of Atlantans were out there and cleaning together, sweeping, cleaning, and recognizing that we've got to, put this city back together. We got to send a message that this is unacceptable. But at the same time, recognize that we understand, we hear the message, even though, even within the negative that's happening, we hear the message, and we know we still have, there's a lot of work to do.
Chris Draft joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9thegame.com, 92.9thegame.com, and also you can check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Chris Draft, this is a guy who relocated from the West Coast. He played here with the Falcons and played for a number of teams in the NFL, but you chose this city to make it your home. After the events of the last 48 hours, what would you like to say to your neighbors here in town?
I mean, Atlanta's beautiful, man. This is a city that has meant so much to the civil rights movement. And I think, the fact of civil rights, the fact that football, this is kind of the heart and soul of football, is right here in Atlanta, that we have to look at things very similarly. And that says that we have to take the good with the bad. We have to decide in the direction that we want to go, and we have to move in that direction. And understand that we're going to have some hiccups along the way, but we just have to continue in that direction. So what happened on Friday night, what happened last night, is not, doesn't say that Atlanta is not a beautiful place, but it does say that there's issues that we have to work out. I think Friday night, the police held a tremendous amount of restraint. Right, you could see a lot of good in that. There were a lot of people that really weren't doing bad. So we have to recognize the good again within the bad, and recognize that Atlanta's always been a city that has moved forward, that has been able to learn from the mistakes and have gotten better because of it.
Spend the time on the waitfor.com hotline with Chris Draft, former Atlanta Falcon, but he's involved in so many things with dealing with cancer, especially lung cancer, supporting of the Wounded Warriors that he does for the National Football League. And he spends a little quality time with the commissioner as well from time to time. But Chris, you know, when we think about Atlanta and the movement in Atlanta in the 60s, there was college students. And Ambassador Andrew Young made it a very important note. Schools out. Ordinarily, if something like this happened downtown, you would have students from Georgia State, Georgia Tech, the Atlanta University Center. And that means these are people who, and back in the day, they were schooled and trained in doing this. And you talked about the need for maybe some organization and instruction for this purpose when people are going to protest like this.
That's right on, Sam. I think more than anything, it's not just the presence of the students, but what, you know, the students at that time were trained. So I think it's important to recognize that within any movement, that training is critical to getting that done. And so regardless of who's going to be a part of the movement, we have to acknowledge that optics are important and that there are going to be some people that might want to join that aren't pure of heart in terms of believing. And it is critical that we challenge them. We challenge everybody that comes out that there is a way that we need to do things to make sure that we are heard and that our message is not corrupted. And so, again, I think that the training that happened within the civil rights movement unfortunately gets lost. You know, so much of the work that Dr. King has done, you know, that he did was not without a lot of training, without a lot of collaboration, without a lot of back and forth, and I think that we need to make sure that we kind of connect with that. That it will take training, it will take togetherness. It's not just going to happen. You don't just show up and everything is okay. That you have to be very intentional about it, and you've got to hold people together as you're doing it.
And Chris, one of the concerns of the masses is as we talk about voices, especially during this time with the pandemic, is it one voice that's needed, or are there multiple voices? And if there are multiple voices, which is what we have right now, because everybody thinks they're a commentator with their cell phone and being able to take video of themselves, is it important because of the health concerns that we all have, and that's hanging over all of us, to have one voice? Or is multiple voices needed?
Well, you would love to have one voice, but the key is if that voice is not saying what's right, then what good is it to have one? I think what's important is making sure that we're all on the same page. Again, just like a football team, it would be great if one player could win the game by himself. That's just not going to happen. And I think, you know, it's the same thing here. There's going to be people that are a little bit more vocal, you know, a little bit less vocal. But more important than anything, you know, is to make sure that we're all on the same page. And I think within all the, you know, with everything that is happening, there are a lot of people that are on edge. There's a lot of people, you know, that not just because of Ahmaud, not just because of George Floyd, but because of COVID. And so they're looking for some type of confidence in what's going on. They need to be reassured in the fact that we're going to move forward. And with progress, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be great today. It's not going to all work itself out tomorrow. But what we're going to do is continue to stay focused on getting better.
That's Chris Draft. In other words, we need a playbook. Just like with football, we need a playbook for ultimate success. Chris, we appreciate you spending some time with us. I know you're helping the people there at the Children's Museum get things all cleaned up. It's your neighborhood, and you're helping. Yeah. We appreciate you doing that. We thank you for doing that, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on, man. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Don't be a stranger.
Hey, you know, hey, I'll come back on anytime.
All right. Yeah, Sam, I've been looking, seeing Chris on TV on Sundays, and I think that's all because of his visits here with us. Other folks been snatching him away. Yeah. We want him back. Come back home.
It was great.
Come back home to Jamaica.
Yeah, it's great to have him back on. Great to have him on with us today.
All right, we've heard from an ex-player, and we've been hearing from coaches. Initially, we weren't, but we are now hearing some of the voices of coaches that are out there, given what's going on in these last 48 hours. We're going to talk about that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. And check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. You know we've got to find out.
CC. To each his reach, and if I don't cop, it ain't mine to have. But I'll be reaching for you, cause I love you, CC. Right on. There's a lot of chocolate cities around. We've got Newark, we've got Gary. Somebody told me we got LA. And we're working on Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg in the Kia Studios, well, the virtual Kia Studios on this Sunday morning. So glad you're with us. Don't forget you can take us with you wherever you're going through the radio.com app, available on all your smartphones and smart speakers. And thank you for taking us with us wherever you may be going on this Sunday morning. There are some houses of worship that are reopening today. There may be some that are reopening that weren't planning to reopen until the events of the past 2 days. If you are doing that, do drive and travel with care, and you still observe your safe distancing, I say, and the things that you need to do. But I know that some people are going to do that today, and they want to respond, not only just like the protesters wanted to get out and make their statement. There are those who want to respond to that today, and they want to go to a place where they can do it and feel safe in doing it. So there are some people who will venture out on this Sunday. But thank you for taking us with you to let us ride along with you here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Greg?
Yeah, I'm just looking overall. It's a morning. It really is. It's just one of those mornings that we will remember, this show. We do a lot of shows. We can't always remember all of them, but we will remember, certain ones, and this is one of them. So as we go through this, and we're going to be here another hour, obviously. And by the way, we haven't done that, our little mantra again to everybody. Let everybody know we're here. Tell everybody. Tweet it out. Whatever. Sam and Greg, back on the air, 6 a.m. until 10 every Sunday morning. We might be Hawaii. We might be stuck out there in the middle of the radio ocean, but we are here. We got dry, and we got hella beaches here too. So just like Hawaii, got lots of good things going on. Sam, when we talked the other day and talked about what we're going to talk about during the show, one of the things that you had said then, when we weren't hearing from coaches. Coaches were taking a back seat to what was going on. This is as late as Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon into the evening. And, of course, they started mentioning the big names first. We'd heard from Saban, haven't heard from Dabo Sweeney, haven't heard from others. Although there was a comment, I believe, and I don't have it in front of me here. I think Jim Harbaugh said something, but it was just kind of a blanket statement about how terrible the events were that took place up in Minnesota. But they wanted to hear from those guys with rings. They wanted to hear from the top-tier coaches, and nothing was said. But then yesterday, some coaches started coming out of the woodwork, and I guess waiting for emotions to settle before they said anything.
There are a number of people who called out some of the college coaches, and one of them is Mark Jones, a longtime play-by-play voice, and one of the few and rare Black play-by-play voices for college sports, and he's been long time. He says, I've called college football for 29 years at ESPN, the only Black play-by-play announcer. I speak to athletes 24/7. If you're a college football coach and not talking to your Black players about racial injustice and police brutality, you are not failing. The coaching systems fail. And, that's the thing. And right now the coaches – the only access they have to their players is through Zoom or a phone call because nobody's back on campus. We know that the players are headed back at some point in the month of June. They're going to come back just to have workouts, and those workouts are supposed to be basically independent and voluntary and on their own and really not involved with members of the coaching staff. They may get through the strength and conditioning coach. So even then, the contact is going to be limited. I would like to hope that each and every coach, and I'm sure most of them, they all will, is allow that time when those players return to let them speak, let them vent. You know, right. let them express what they've felt through what they've seen, especially if they haven't had a chance to actively participate in something. We do have some college players. We had a basketball player at Ohio State get detained at a protest up in Columbus, Ohio, the last couple of days. So, I mean, coaches usually tell the college players to avoid certain things and stay away from them, especially the chance where they may get in trouble or may get injured. But you hope that the coaches give that time. And I think since that time, we've heard from some coaches who've spoken out. And I'm very proud of the fact that our coaches here in our area have chosen to speak and say something. And I share some of them, at least through Twitter. And we're going to hear from one at the top of the hour, and Coach Jeff Collins from Georgia Tech. Sean yep. Elliott, who joined us last week from Georgia State, went on Twitter immediately last week and said, "I'll never understand the actions of some. There's an answer, and it starts with us." You know, right. And so he made that statement.
You know, as I was thumbing through comments, just over the last 24 hours, and there's a couple from some players too. Trevor Lawrence put one out where he was waiting. So again, on a much different level and different age group. But I was looking for the coach who said something that connected with me. And while you may not always find that, I did find one, believe it or not. Not exactly, but it did connect with me. And it came from Pistons head coach, Dwayne Casey.
Okay.
Dwayne Casey put this out. 54 years ago, I was an 8-year-old boy living in rural Kentucky when the schools were desegregated. I walked into a white school where I was not wanted nor welcome, Casey wrote in a statement. At the time, there were no cell phones to record my treatment, no cable news stations 24/7 coverage, no social media to record the reality of the situation or offer support or condemnation. But I can remember exactly how I felt as an 8-year-old child. I felt helpless. I felt as if I was neither seen nor heard or understood. As I have watched the events unfold in the days following the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, a city where I coached and once called home, I see how many people continue to feel those same feelings, helpless, frustrated, invisible, and angry.
Yeah, yeah. It's real, and you look for coaches in the leadership capacity. They say things that motivate and encourage, and that's what they do. That's part of their job. But they also teach. People forget the coaches are also teachers, Greg. And, you know, in the last couple of days, we have heard from a couple more of our teachers. Kirby Smart, University of Georgia head coach, weighing in on Twitter, say, "I firmly stand against racism of all kinds. I realize that I feel this differently, but I am hurting for the young black men on my team. I am hurting for the black men on our staff. I cannot imagine the agony, grief, and fear that our black communities feel today and every other day. I do not have the answers, but I'm committed to moving with purpose and being part of the solutions. We have to make a change. We have to be better." And Kennesaw State head coach Brian Bohannon weighing in yesterday said, "I am not a huge Twitter guy. I mostly retweet, but I feel like I need to say a few things. And I always take some time to talk to our football team about what a role model they are for our country. We have different races, religions, and backgrounds. We have Jordan fans, Kobe fans, yet we all work together for a common good. We may not agree on everything, but we respect each person as a human being, regardless of their skin color or their beliefs. And I hope that America be like our team, where every person is treated the same, regardless of their skin color, belief, or background." And it kind of goes back to what we just talked about with Chris Draft. You know, he put it in a team concept, right, and approaching it that way. You know, you get everyone on the same page, and respect is a big part of it. And you're going to have a successful team, you have to have that. And so that's why I think it's fitting that we're doing the show that we're doing this morning, Greg, because sports is a metaphor for teamwork and for uniting and bringing people together. And I think sports is something people are going to be able to point to that's part of the solution, not just an escape from what's happening, you know, not just something that we look at for fun, but realize that the symbolic, the things that you see, you know, people who come in from different backgrounds, they get together in that locker room on that practice field, all those other things go away and you come out united. That's what we need to see. That's the picture we need to see more than anything right now.
You know, in a perfect world, yeah, man. And you hope that that's a train that's, you know, everybody's getting on and going in the same direction. You just got to ask yourself, you wonder if people are ready for the pain that goes along with the change. That progress does not come easy and painless. It's hard. And it's a, listen, take a page from what we have. I mean, this is there's two worlds working simultaneously here, and in and of themselves is enough to make everybody in this country and around the world stand up and make a decision about what side of history you want to be on. And one is the pandemic, and you see how hard it is for to get everybody to understand or do what this set of officials want us to do, or this set of doctors want us to do, or this set of politicians want us to do. It's like trying to get cats in a parade. Everybody's going in different directions, and this is something medical. And then you have this other situation that we are talking about that's transpired over the last 24 hours, at least something tangible here, the riots and the protests going on here in the city and around the country, and trying to marshal the efforts to right that wrong. You see what I mean? So there's a whole lot of understanding about what we need to do next and what and hope that people will heed the words of whether it's your friends or your family or leaders in the community. It's going to be a very big uphill battle. It's Sisyphus-like. And to try to do this during this pandemic and all the other things, and people aren't going to let this die. This is going to be something that's going to be with us throughout this hot summer. I just, and the only thing that comes to mind is I don't think people have an appropriate appreciation for the size of what happens next.
It will have to be big. It will have to be major. And, you know, it's and as you said, Greg, it causes some pain in many ways. But a lot of people watching what happens next in Minnesota. And, you know, we're way in Atlanta. We say, well, we're a long way away from that place. Why is that impacting us? It's to that degree that it has come with the, you know, nationally and in cities across the country. I mean, we talk about the things, the looting and the rioting that went on here. I'm seeing that they went to Rodeo Drive and just looted places of Rodeo Drive. Yeah. I wouldn't think you'd be able to do that. Talk about a neighborhood you can't go in and do. I figure you wouldn't be able to go in that neighborhood and do that.
No, you can walk up down Rodeo Drive. Here's the thing, though, and the timing of this is not something to sneeze at, because most of the stores that had high-end merchandise, when we were all sent home, you know, stay at home, they pulled all that stuff from inside the stores, remember? And so you couldn't just walk by the windows and see it because of possible looting. Well, now that stores are starting to reopen, they're putting those expensive items back, and people know that. And they're making them very visible. So, yeah, Rodeo Drive, down Peachtree and Buckhead, you're talking about Lenox and Phipps. We ain't here. I mean, some of the other malls, they just shut down, which is why folks up there in Gwinnett County, up by you, they were trying to just walk on the interstate because they couldn't get into the malls. Anyway, we're going to continue talking a little bit about what the events of this past 48 hours here in the city of Atlanta, but we're also talking about sports, too, and there's a big event coming up later today. That's another NASCAR race. We're going to have Adam Alexander come on and join us. But up next, head football coach over at Georgia Tech, that is Jeff Collins. He's going to join us next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.